Kaya Biz.
28 minutes after 7 o'clock now, and we shift our focus to New Year's resolutions. We're still within the month of January, and if you look around on social media and even speak to many close friends, acquaintances, and even colleagues, you realize that everyone does have a fresh perspective for the new year. And granted, we're allowed to, right? It's a new slate, a new opportunity, a new page, and everybody wants to be optimistic because truth is, who doesn't like amazing things for themselves? True. But when it comes to this, particularly when it's in the workplace and committing to New Year's resolutions of doing well in a time of COVID, we do need to make sure that we fully understand the opportunities together with some of the challenges that we faced in the past. And if the year 2020 and 2021 have taught us anything, is that we do need to leave some room for error. Or some room for uncertainty and be able to respond to it adequately. But to help us unpack how these particular themes do play into the minds of many South Africans within the workplace, where we're trying to balance it all, finances, career, love, health, and friendships, that's where we do need to be cognizant of how it is that we build going forward. To help us with this conversation, we're joined by Dr. Nozi Nyawose, who is a clinical psychologist. And you too can dial in and share some of your thoughts. Are you struggling with New Year's resolutions that you'd like to make in a time of COVID? Dial in 086-000-0959. Dr. Nozi, welcome to the show and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me, Gugu. Hello to the audience as well.
Excited to have you with us. And I can just imagine, I guess, Dr. Nozi, as someone who is a clinical psychologist interacting with a number of individuals around their concerns or challenges around mental health, that the last 2 years, what you've witnessed has certainly been very different from the status quo of the past.
I mean, definitely. I think the last 2 years have brought tremendous change to the country and the world, to many people. And I think there's been a definite loss of control, people not being certain about the future, not being certain about family, finances, health, so many things. Also, a loss of options. Loss of freedom as well. It's been a big change, and I think people have been really struggling to adapt to the change.
It's a big change, but I also realize that it's also given us a fresh perspective, right, to reevaluate what actually is important to us.
Definitely, I would agree. I mean, it's given us time to be in isolation, to really do an introspection into what we really want to do, what we want to achieve. And to also have an introspection in how things were in the past versus how people would like to change things for the better. So I think the time, the pause on the whole country, people being in isolation with their thoughts, it's really played a significant role in the changes that they will make to come.
Very true. And maybe let's start off with that. I do know that there's one particular corporate company, Sanlam, which has run a Dear 2019 Me challenge and are encouraging South Africans to share some of their most powerful lockdown lessons. And you've got some insight to share on this, primarily when it does come to money, when it does come to health, as well as relationships. But let's start with the money angle, right? Because we know that that's what we're about here.
Definitely. I think Sanlam introduced this really brilliant campaign, which is called the Dear 2019 campaign, where it surveyed a couple of South Africans on things that people wish that they knew before the pandemic, and the lessons that they have learned and things that they'd want to change. And the survey focused on three key main themes. Obviously, finances was one of the themes. Health and relationships. Yep. And when you look at these three themes, there's a direct correlation between the three. It's actually hand in glove. So it was a brilliant campaign because it resonates with the majority of South Africans and what they're going through at the moment. People wishing that they had saved more. People wishing that they had set aside money for rainy days. Because there's been so many changes. Losing employment, lack of income. It's been a really painful time for a lot of South Africans. So this campaign was really brilliant in that it brought back, it gave us insight on how South Africans are feeling and what they're currently going through.
Yeah, and you're right. And sometimes it's just going back to basics, right? We all know the fundamentals of having to start a budget, talking about the taboo being your debt, and also saving for rainy days. But it almost seems as though we haven't really had the opportunity pre-pandemic to fully take advantage of these opportunities, because we always make the assumption that we've got time, right?
Definitely. And I think that's the worst assumption that we can make, because we don't have fun. But, you know, with the changes, it came a lot of uncertainty, things that we didn't know. But now that we do know, I think people are now starting to take a step in changing, a very progressive step, and also realizing the importance of financial advice, you know, professional advice. And I think the previous gentleman, you both mentioned it as well. Financial literacy, it's so important. Getting financial advice from professionals and understanding the financial concepts and skills that are associated with money management.
Mm.
People being able to make smart decisions, smart financial decisions, you know, and that's very crucial. And I think that's one thing that a lot of South Africans are now branching more and more into, seeking special advice from financial advisors.
Yeah. What's also quite interesting, before we move on to health, I'd just like to evaluate the emotional and mental capacity that South Africans have in order to meet these challenges. How has that been stretched on the back of the pandemic? Because I guess many of us would say, oh man, I'm just stressed. But that has a completely different definition and understanding right now, in light of what we've been through in the last 2 years.
I mean, I would definitely agree. You know, when we look at people's mental health and conditions, a lot changed.
Yeah.
Even at work, in the people that we saw, you know, anxiety and depression were more prominent conditions. You know, people were struggling to cope with not having control, with not knowing what the future holds, not knowing what the next announcement will be. Having uncertainty about the future, it's been really unsettling for a lot of people. And unfortunately, a lot of people lacked the coping mechanisms. And because of this, we had seen, and I think even the Sanlam stats reported this, that we have seen an increase in prescription medication usage, the onset of bad and maladaptive behavior, you know, unhealthy habits, unhealthy eating. You know, not engaging in physical exercise. And this has contributed to a lot of anxiety. And just suicide as well. I mean, the stats have been exorbitantly high. So it has been really a scary and dark time.
Incredibly scary. And I'm also intrigued as to how this has impacted on our health. You mentioned health, limitations on movement and bad eating habits. How has that changed? And are we seeing perhaps not only individuals making greater commitments to this, but corporates also encouraging them to prioritize their health and their vitality?
Definitely. I mean, one of the things that Sanlam prioritized in the campaign was being able to incorporate. You know, when we speak of health, we're not only speaking about medical health. We're also speaking about psychological health. We're also speaking about physical health. You know, being able to engage in physical exercise. You know, I always say that even your house, people always say, you know, I don't have facilities, I don't have enough resources to go to the gym and engage in physical exercise. And I always say, even your house is a gym, your bedroom, your lounge, you know,
yeah.
Just start engaging in physical exercise and activity. So I think people have been doing that a lot more. And I think even on social media, people post a lot of these pictures. And you see that people are slowly, slowly progressing. And having learned a lot of lessons from the things that they didn't do, and now starting to change those unhealthy behaviors to very positive ones, which I think is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, you're right. And I guess social media also helping there, right? People moving more,
yes,
trying to eat better, and starting off with better principles as well in their lives. Dr. Nyaus, I'm also keen to get your thoughts on I guess the removal of the stigma around depression and mental health concerns, because previously, perhaps I recall being educated by one of your peers in the industry that when we think about physical health and fitness, we think about all the good things, right? Gym, working out and being fit. And when we think about mental health, that's where people tend to think and prioritize the negative connotations of depression, of anxiety. But is that narrative changing where we're able to understand that your mental fortitude contributes to your mental health in a positive manner?
I mean, I certainly agree that taboo and the narrative is changing. I mean, that taboo has been as a result of indoctrination, as a result of culture and background and environment where we come from, not being allowed the opportunity to breathe, to express how you feel, you know, gender stereotypes. So it's made people, and labeling and stigma, it's made people shy away from expressing how they feel inside, from seeking assistance because they feel they will be stigmatized and victimized. So I think now the narrative is changing. You know, we are seeing more talks on depression. We are seeing, you know, these more awareness and psychoeducation is now being brought to people. And I think even on social media, because social media is one of the most leading places where people see get information. Even on videos such as TikTok, they're speaking about depression. They're teaching young people to have these uncomfortable conversations, even with parents. And I think it's, the story really is changing. And I urge people to speak out, to express themselves and their feelings.
Yep. Definitely. On that note, I'm also keen to understand, naturally, you must work with a lot of corporates and we see big businesses, you know, being able to address some of the mental health concerns we have in society. But what are we seeing when it comes to entrepreneurs, small business owners and players, perhaps even within the gig economy, who might be struggling in that space?
Oh, it's been a year of change, you know, with in the occupational setting with entrepreneurs. You know, loss of income, loss of businesses, you know, and with the unrest in July, a lot of entrepreneurs lost a lot, right? I think more people have been losing their sense of self, their sense of ego, their identity with the loss of income. But what is nice to note is that more and more people are coming out and speaking about these losses because, again, because of stigma, people don't speak about these losses. Entrepreneurs don't talk about
the pain. Because of the stigma of failure, right?
Exactly. Mm. The stigma of failure and what people will think. And, you know, people will always say, all of those things, which can be really painful and very insensitive. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And there's some lessons for us to learn there, creating a more comfortable environment for entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs themselves also, you know, being open about the challenges that they have. I've heard of many examples where many entrepreneurs have transitioned back into the world of corporate and have sought the security of a 9-to-5 given the challenges that they faced. And that doesn't make them failures at all. It's all part of the journey and the exercise we need to accept. But I think before we let you go, if there is anyone who's listening, perhaps overwhelmed with anxiety, overwhelmed with emotion and unsure where to seek professional help, where does one need to start?
So if you feel that you are not okay, and you need assistance, I always advise that you seek professional assistance. You know, there are psychologists, there are social workers, there are doctors. And even in the public sector, there are psychiatric and psychological facilities where one can access this in the public sector without having to worry about finances. So the most important thing is having insight that there is a problem. And the second most important thing is taking the initiative and the step to seek assistance. And to be better.
Yeah, definitely. to be better. That's ultimately what everybody wants in life. Dr. Nozi, thank you so much for your time this evening. Really appreciate it, as well as the clarity that you've given us on just how we can all make sure that we do get better.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Dr. Nozi Nyawose, who is a clinical psychologist, helping us unpack some of the resolutions that many South Africans might have made, especially within the workplace, how to manage that in a time of COVID, where we have all been overwhelmed by the activities of the last two years, really, and counting. But for the moment, it's 17 minutes to go before 8 o'clock.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
On the streets, on the air.